As we celebrate our Mass tonight, remember some of the most beautiful gifts our Lord gives us. Each one of them is the way in which he stays with us throughout the ages. He institutes the priesthood. He gives us the gift of the Eucharist. And he calls us to fraternal charity, serving our brothers and sisters. And I think I point out every year during this homily that in doing so, our Lord shows great humility, great simpleness. Our God obviously loves us very, very dearly. We're told that he loved them till the end. Our reading tonight is the beginning of the end. In John's Gospel, our Lord will continue to go on teaching and praying for quite some time. By the end of the night, he will go and spend his agony in the garden. He'll be arrested and put to death only a matter of hours later. And so we see his great love, his great humility, his great simplicity. And as a priest, this homily is the one that is in the back of my mind throughout the entire year. Because this is the summary of who I am, what I do. The beautiful invitation that our Lord gave me almost 20 years ago, and I'm thankful for each and every day. But last year when these sacred liturgies came to be about, came time to celebrate them, I was dealing with my own internal stuff. In all honesty, the last thing that I wanted to do was come to celebrate this Mass, our Good Friday liturgy, our Easter Vigil. But of course, I came over and did what I was supposed to do. And I had about 6 to 9 months or so where I just had this very difficult time inside my own heart, working through my own stuff. And I've been reflecting the last couple of months, especially through our Lenten journey, about how our Lord pulled me through. And he did it definitely through some great and amazing people in my life. But he also gave me a couple of anchors that are definitely tied to what we celebrate today. When I was in seminary, early in my formation, we were told of a story that unfortunately happens far too often. The priest requested a meeting with his bishop. The meeting came. The priest walked into the bishop's office and said, "I'm done. I'm leaving." Conversation went on for some time. The bishop looked at him and said, "When did you stop praying your breviary?" A priest promises to pray from this book, and it's in 4 volumes, 5 times a day. Our deacons promise to pray twice a day, as they have other parts of their vocation they have to fulfill out in the world as well. And the laity are invited to do that as well, to pray it. So we prayed after our morning and our Tuesday evening Mass. And what I have found is that that was my anchor. By God's grace, in 11 years of ordinations as my diaconate, when I first made the promise, I have yet to miss an hour. And I make most of these prayers in my chapel at home. And so every morning I would go and spend time in adoration, almost exclusively before our Lord and the tabernacle. And that prayer was some of the most empty, painful prayer of my life. On the subjective level, it felt like nothing was happening. Thanks be to God, because of my formation, because I know what the church teaches. Every time I pick up this book and I pray these words, it is the liturgy of the church, and therefore it is the entire church praying. Not just me praying for myself, but me praying for the world. And what I've realized is that that was the anchor that got me through that trial. And got me through the difficulty that I had to experience. And again, our Lord gives us the Eucharist, and that was the main part of that prayer, was putting myself before our Lord just a matter of feet away from him on a daily basis, and oftentimes multiple times a day. During Lent, I make sure that I spend every one of my hours as I can, each one of these prayers, before the tabernacle. Even when I'm out moving around, I will put off an hour so I can do it before the tabernacle to the best as I reasonably can with my schedule. We're in this time of Eucharistic revival in our country right now, because far too many of our brothers and sisters, and maybe some of them are here, don't understand that what we are going to celebrate tonight, the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity, that it is him. He is present. He is there. And if we just put ourselves in his presence, he will work on us. He will heal us. He will strengthen us. We may be going through very hard times. We might be going through difficulties. But if we just put ourselves before the Lord in the tabernacle, before the Lord in adoration, before the Lord especially at the Mass, he will give us graces we cannot possibly imagine. And that work in the silence will change us, will transform us, allowing us to move forward. When we get to the joy of Easter, we pay attention to many of those stories. What our Lord does time and time again when he encounters people is he breaks bread. And that's Bible language for he says Mass. He says the Mass for them. A beautiful story of the road to Emmaus. People who are wandering away from their vocation, wandering away from the difficulty before them. Our Lord encounters them, he teaches them, he gives them the Eucharist, and then he disappears because he is now with them under the appearance of bread. This is a gift that we take for granted, each and every one of us. And I know that I absolutely do. I underestimate repeatedly what stands before us. So in this time, I want to encourage you to make sure that we're recommitting ourselves to time and adoration, time before the Blessed Sacrament, no matter what we're doing right now. If it is almost nothing other than just coming to Mass, come occasionally. If we're coming occasionally, even somewhat frequently, to extra times of adoration or prayer, try to come daily. What we see tonight is our Lord in the upper room gives this beautiful gift to very, very broken men. I've mentioned this a couple of times in the last few weeks, but what we see is these 12 men are all going to fail our Lord. And our Lord chooses broken men to do his bidding. This throughout the entirety of our history. Each one of our fathers and even some of our spiritual mothers fail time and time again. Our Lord does that to show us that he is the one at work, that he will work regardless of us broken priests, of us broken men. And what I've been praying with, along with these other things, is the answers that they give when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. In turn, each one of them, even Judas says, surely it is not I, or I would never. And Peter says, I won't deny you. And Jesus says, before the cock crows twice, he'll deny me three times. And cocks crowed early. So it means immediately. He says, you will not stand the test for even a short period of time. And that's each one of us. And again, very much myself. A part of our heart wants to serve our Lord completely. Absolutely. We want to give ourselves to our Lord without any sort of reservation or holding anything back. But every one of us, every day, betrays our Lord. Every day we are Judas. Every day we are the ones that turn him over to be killed. We are the ones that will nail him into the cross tomorrow. And we want to be honest with that reality. Because in those difficult times, when we're trying to give God our best, he doesn't stop loving us. Our Lord is telling the apostles that they will fail him. He washes their feet. He gives them their ordination. He gives them himself. He does the same thing to us. He never pulls back his heart, no matter what we're doing. Paul, I think, has a beautiful insight when he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so what we enter into in these holy days is, again, how much our Lord loves us, how much Jesus loves us. And I want to encourage you tonight and tomorrow and Saturday to realize what our Lord has done for us. The sacrifice he took on, the suffering he endured. The only reason he did that is so he can give you grace, so he can reconcile you to the Father, so he can give you the opportunity for salvation. What most of the apostles, and Judas, of course, doesn't, but what most of them do is they wait for the Lord to come back to them, to greet them, to forgive them, and to heal them. But no matter what you're going through right now, make sure that each day you continue to show up. You show up to prayer, putting yourself before the Lord. Again, if we can, before the Blessed Sacrament at the altar or the tabernacle when he's not taken away. Spend some time tonight in our altar of repose. But even if we can't get before the Blessed Sacrament, knowing that our Lord is with us wherever we are, we just spend time with him. We don't have to say anything. Just let him work in the silence. So we continue in our Mass today. Let us pray that each one of us in a beautiful way may know the great love and mercy of our Lord. Whatever injuries or hurts we might have, that our Lord might be able to touch them at least a little bit tonight.